IQ skill number 5, the power of power. How to convince with confidence and command attention. Great persuaders know and understand how to use different forms of power. But if you're like most people, you just cringe at the word power. Is power something we really allowed to talk about? Is it good? Is it bad? Can we have power over our audience? The answer to these questions depends on what form of power it is, how it is used, and what the user's intentions are. You see, we all possess different forms of power in different situations. It is human nature to respect and follow power and expertise, and power does have legitimate, ethical, and necessary uses. Of course, we know that power can also be used unethically to manipulate and control. When your audience trusts your authority, you will be very persuasive in moving them to action. What causes them to trust your authority? What causes them to trust your expertise? They trust your expertise and authority when you can help them access something they need or desire. This could be a product, service, rewards, freedom, or even information. Power is different from force. It's all about your intent. Power creates trust, it strengthens, and it empowers. Force must always be maintained, enforced, and warranted. Force sucks the energy and life out of people. True power encourages, revitalizes, and creates unity and synergy. Power causes us to listen and obey. Force causes us to be skeptical and run. David R. Hawkins said it best. Power gives life and energy. Force takes these away. We notice that power is associated with compassion and makes us feel positively about ourselves. Force is associated with judgment and makes us feel poorly about ourselves. Wow. Note that power does not have to be exerted to be effective. A bank robber holds power as he stands menacingly with a gun, yet he doesn't have to actually shoot anyone to exert this power. A police officer wields power just sitting in her car, even if she's not following you with her siren and lights. The same is true for a doctor wearing a white coat. We also see it with the knowledge of a college professor. Knowing your boss can fire you, even if she hasn't made any threats, still gives her a position of power over you. Now understand, when you know more about whatever it is your audience needs or wants, it automatically places you in a position of greater power, expertise, and authority. It is a natural human tendency to seek power. The whole world runs on the concept of power. There would be no order without it. The legal system has the right and the power to interpret laws. The military and police have the power to enforce laws. A manager has the power to fire a dishonest employee. Parents have the power to discipline children. Power is ingrained in our psyches, our culture, and our society. Dr. Floyd Alpert, who is a social psychologist, talks about this instinctive characteristic in his book, Social Psychology. He believes that deep inside each person, there is a desire to incite reactions in others. He further asserts that as we age, these desires grow more strongly into a yearning for control. So, why is power so seductive? When we possess power and control over our environment, we feel strong, invincible, and often exhilarated. As Abraham Lincoln said, "Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power." The question remains then, what makes the exercise of power good or bad? Power tends to make us nervous, and with good reason. We've all seen great abuses of power, tragic, deadly abuses. We also feel that power inhibits our personal freedoms and our ability to control our own lives. We've all been forced to do things against our will, and we've all experienced someone who threw his power around in the wrong way. These past experiences are why the pursuit of power makes us feel uncertain. Many people think that power is all about using dominance, coercion, force, strength, or even control. Sure, these actions can be used as power, but not for genuine long-term persuasion. Great persuaders don't get stuck on power trips or feel the need to exert themselves on others. They understand that the proper and ethical use of power opens their audience to persuasion. Most average persuaders use power in the wrong way. Too much, too soon, and too obvious. Just like that Chinese proverb that says, "Do not remove a fly from your friend's forehead with a hatchet." The truth is that power is a neutral force. It can be used for great good, to inspire and to uplift, as well as for coercion. The good or bad quality comes from the person who is exercising it. If a police officer uses his power to stop a murderer, he is bringing good to the world. However, he could use the same power to help drug dealers. The power is the same, but the intentions of the person behind it are very different. If you know you will use good judgment and wield your power to benefit, serve, and protect others, the pursuit of power shouldn't intimidate you. So, there are three different responses to power, and the research shows that people react to power in different ways. So, what are these three general human responses to power? Well, first, there is an automatic response, following instructions and doing the action without thought or questions. Second, there is a manual response. You understand that the person has power over you. You have second thoughts about doing what he requests, but you comply anyway because of his greater power position. The third, resistance. You know the person has power over you, but you do everything with your personal power to resist. Great persuaders need to be able to interpret different individual reactions to power. That's because each reaction requires a different response. Great persuaders have the ability to use power to put their audience at ease. Power has impact on the choices and the actions of the people you deal with. Great persuaders can also sense when to use or not to use certain forms of power. We know that power that is used in the wrong way has a repelling effect, the exact opposite of the persuader's intention. Also, consider that less educated individuals are more obedient to authority figures. When you have the ability to customize your power with your audience, they are more likely to accept your advice. Understand that when we are unsure or have doubts, we always look to an authority figure or expert to help us make a decision. The power of authority, if used improperly, can make people feel controlled or manipulated. By wielding this type of power, you may get the immediate results you're looking for, but they're not going to last. What's more, you're not going to have people's respect or friendship when all is said and done. Ultimately, this kind of manipulation will destroy cooperation and breed resistance. It will kill enthusiasm and stir up animosity. Great persuaders know how people handle the different types of authority power. As General Dwight David Eisenhower said, "I would rather try to persuade a man to go along, because once I persuaded him, he will stick. If I scare him, he will stay scared just as long as he is scared, and then he is gone." Understand, there are many different forms of power, but I want to focus on four in particular. I don't want to focus on the negative or unethical forms. Rather, let's focus on the positive and ethical forms that boost and enhance your ability to persuade. They are authority, respect, knowledge, and reward power. Great persuaders know and use all these different forms of power. The first is authority power, or what we call expert power. The main source of a persuader's power is authority. Remember that you are the expert. You know what you are talking about, what you're doing, and how you can solve your audience's challenges. Authority power is based on how other people perceive your authority or expertise. You have authority over others when they believe you have greater clout, authority, expertise, or strength than they do. Authority allows those in a power position to persuade others to comply with them because of their status, position, background, or rank. CEOs of large corporations carry this form of power. Police officers are another excellent example of this type of power. Whether it's because of their uniform, their title, their badge, or their car, you feel compelled to comply with police based on their position of authority. And understand, we can't be blamed for our natural urge to follow authority. We have been taught since childhood to believe and follow proper authority. It started when our parents taught us that disobedience to authority is wrong and has consequences. We are taught to listen to our teachers, our parents, or political figures. As the biblical stories go, Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and Jonah was swallowed by the whale because of their disobedience. In contrast, Abraham was blessed for his willingness to follow authority and sacrifice his son. Parents know more than children. God knows more than we do. Often, we submit to authority figures in an effort to avoid pain and punishment. Disobedience can lead to stiff penalties. Exercising authority power does not mean being arrogant or condescending. Your audience has certain expectations that you will be an expert in your field and that you will have the ability to help and advise them. Your audience has a need, and they want it fulfilled. They want to be led in the right direction by a competent and knowledgeable person. Think of a time when you were faced with an important buying decision. Did you think that an apologetic and insecure persuader, one who was constantly wringing his hands, would have made you feel more positive and confident about your purchase? Probably not. In fact, you probably would have found his behavior annoying, maybe even a little disturbing. Have confidence and demonstrate your expertise. Great persuaders look at the persuader-persuadee relationship as a student-teacher relationship. Think of yourself as a consultant or an advisor. You are the teacher. You are the doctor of persuasion. That is, you are diagnosing your audience's condition and recommending a cure. When you look at the persuasion process this way, you are practically under obligation to conduct yourself as an authority figure. When you can demonstrate that you are proficient, skilled, and capable, you gain authority power. People value and admire those who know their job, and they submit to your input, suggestions, and counsel. Authority power can also be divided into the following categories: position, uniform, title, public opinion, or even external characteristics. Let me give you some examples of those, and you're going to see that authority power can have a very persuasive influence on an individual. First one, authority by position. Those who have authority based on the position they hold within the community have positional authority. Such authority figures include a boss, the U.S. president, or a judge. A landmark study conducted by Stanley Milgram at Yale University illustrates just how powerful positional authority can be. Milgram had some participants pose as teachers, while others portrayed the learners. The teachers were told that they were going to help the researchers test the learners' learning levels by giving the learners progressively more intense shocks each time they answered memory questions incorrectly. Of course, no real shocks were administered, but the teachers did not know this, and the learners were instructed to act as though the pain were real. See, the purpose of the study was to see how far the teachers would go in obeying the head researcher's authority, even if it meant inflicting great pain on another human being. Many of the labels on the switches warned danger, severe shock. The results were astounding. 2/3 of the subjects delivered as much pain as they could, 450 volts, pulling all 30 of the shock switches, even when the acting learners pleaded, begged, and even screamed for them to stop the experiment. This experiment strikingly demonstrates several key points concerning positional authority. First of all, the teachers were noticeably uncomfortable with what they were doing. In fact, they hated it. Many of them asked the researchers to please end the experiment, but when he refused, they continued on, trembling, perspiring, and sometimes even laughing nervously. In spite of the extreme discomfort, almost all of the teachers continued to obey the head researcher until the experiment was over. When the teacher left the room and started to give instructions by phone, only 23% went to deliver the maximum shock. The result demonstrates the importance of the face-to-face component of positional authority. And the converse is also revealing. When the scripts were revised, and it was the learners who were ordering the teachers to deliver more shocks while the researcher protested, not even one single person obeyed. In this scenario, 100% of the teachers refused to obey the learners over the researcher. After obtaining the shocking results of this experiment, Milgram wrote, "It is the extreme willingness of adults to go to almost any lengths on the command of an authority that constitutes the chief finding of the study. When someone has more authority than you do, you may automatically assume that whatever that person says must be true." An FAA study illustrates this point. It found that many errors by flight captains were not challenged or corrected by other members of the crew. This blind obedience to position and authority resulted in catastrophes. One airline concerned about this evidence tested their own flight crews with flight simulators. They created conditions that would lead to mental overload and emotional stimulation. The captains often made fatal mistakes at a critical moment. In such circumstances, the airline was shocked to find that 25% of the flights would have crashed because the subordinates did not take corrective action and challenge the position of the plane's captain. Then there's authority by uniform. Does it really matter how you dress? Do great persuaders actually think about what they wear? Do clothes really make the person? In most instances, the answer is yes. When you wear a uniform to play a certain role, that uniform invokes authority and prestige. Now, when I say uniform, I'm including business attire in that definition. Business attire is considered the uniform of power persuaders. People create vital impressions of power with what they wear. When you wear the right clothes for the situation, you can persuade without even speaking. Think of what a policeman uniform says. Imagine a police officer trying to clear an urban riot in street clothes. The uniformed officer will get our immediate attention because we respond and respect uniforms. What about negotiating a big deal in jeans and a faded t-shirt? Even clergy who wear robes command more respect and are able to persuade and influence better than they can when wearing street clothes. We see a doctor in a white coat and automatically assume he is a medical professional who knows exactly what to prescribe. Likewise, when a businessman shows up in a $1,500 suit and polished shoes, we automatically assume he is in charge or is the decision maker. In one experiment, a man would stop pedestrians in New York City. The experimenter would point to another man nearly 50 feet away, telling them that the man had overparked and didn't have any change to pay the meter. He would then tell them to go give the man the necessary change. Researchers wanted to see how many people complied with the experimenter's request when he was dressed in normal street clothes versus when he was dressed as a security guard. After giving the command, the experimenter would turn a corner so he was out of the pedestrian sight. Incredibly, almost all of the pedestrians obeyed when he was dressed in a uniform, even after he was gone. When he was dressed in street clothes, however, less than half of the pedestrians complied with his request. In another study, Lawrence and Watson found that individuals asking for contributions to law enforcement or healthcare campaigns gathered more donations when wearing sheriff's and nurses' uniforms than when they were dressed normally. The experimental conclusions prove that dressing the part increases your power and your authority over others. Then there's authority by title. We're all suckers for titles because they create power. For example, president, CEO, esquire, manager, or even boss create certain expectations of authority and respect. When we hear doctor in the front of a name, it automatically registers in our mind that this person is important, powerful, and intelligent. We don't even ask if he or she graduated at the top of his or her class. In the medical profession, the doctor is the head decision maker. We love to hear 2 out of 3 doctors recommend, or 9 out of 10 dentists use this product. Our tendency to follow such recommendation is all based on title, authority, power. In one particular case, researchers wanted to test to see if the power of authority by title won out over the established rules and regulations. They were looking to determine whether nurses would administer an unauthorized drug to a patient when requested to do so by a doctor they didn't know. A researcher would call a nurse on the phone and tell her he was a doctor and that he wanted a 20 milligram dose of a particular drug to be administered to a certain patient. He instructed her to do it as soon as possible so the drug would have time to take effect by the time he arrived. He further stated that he would sign the prescription upon his arrival. Well, the experiment intentionally violated 4 rules. First, the hospital did not allow prescriptions to be made over the phone. Number 2, the drug was unauthorized. Third, the dosage was dangerously excessive. In fact, double the amount specified on the label. And number 4, the order was given by a doctor the nurse had never met or even heard of. In spite of all these red flags, a whopping 95% of the nurses headed straight for the medicine cabinet and into the patient's room. Of course, researchers intervened before they actually administered the drug. And a subsequent study asked nurses to remember a time when they had obeyed a doctor's order that they felt was potentially harmful to the patient. When asked why they had complied, 46% said the doctor was the expert and the authority figure in the matter. Your title is important. When you hold a title that projects power, respect and attention are directed towards you, and your ability to persuade others is strengthened. Think about it. When you are upset with a company or a persuader, you want to talk to the boss, the manager, even the president. I was amazed when I was hired to do sales for a local company, and my business card read, Regional Sales Manager. Although I was just a rookie, I did notice that the title on the card garnered respect. Find a title that is appropriate for you and your work. For example, Vice President, Senior Partner, Managing Director, Account Executive might work well for you. Then there's authority by public opinion. Now, this occurs when a person has power or authority not directly because of experience or expertise, but simply because of his or her reputation. An example of this type of power can be seen in scholarly journals, which are more likely to publish articles written by people who are established and respected in their fields versus people who are virtually unknown. What has your audience heard about you, your product, and your company? What is the public perception about you? Very often, public opinion carries more weight than facts. Here's a great example of public opinion. An error in Intel's Pentium chip was detected in 1994. News spread quickly about the flaw, and the public became upset. Now, Intel tried to downplay the issue, and it wasn't long before Intel was flooded with emails and phone calls requesting a no-questions-asked return policy on the microprocessor. In the heat of the whole mess, complaints peaked at 25,000 in one day. In spite of a huge public outcry, Intel refused to offer the requested return policy. Not surprisingly, the press got a hold of the story, and Intel stock dropped dramatically. Finally, Intel was forced to adopt a new return policy. What was the result of resisting public opinion for as long as they had? $475 million. In just a matter of weeks, public opinion had influenced the value of the entire company, and ignoring public opinion proved a very costly mistake. Then there's authority by external characteristics. Great persuaders command authority. Like it or not, some people view others as powerful simply because of their physical characteristics. For example, being tall can admit authority over another, even before you've spoken to that person. If you look back through history, presidential elections in the United States have been won by the taller candidate 21 out of 23 elections. Height also scores points in the battle for affection. Research suggests that women are significantly more responsive to a man's published personal ad when he describes himself as tall. Another example of how physical characteristics portray authority is exhibited in our response to someone who has a deeper speaking voice. We subconsciously respond to deeper voices as more commanding and authoritative. Recognize that many of the physical characteristics we possess, or strive to possess, serve as status symbols. The more positive physical attributes we have, the more we tend to be perceived as rich and powerful. In one study conducted in the San Francisco Bay Area, showed that people driving expensive cars receive better treatment from other drivers than those driving less expensive cars. For example, motorists waited significantly longer before honking at a new luxury car than when the light turned green than the older economy model doing the same thing. What's more, nearly all the motorists honked their horns impatiently more than one time at the cheaper car. In the case of the luxury car, 50% waited respectively, never honking at all. Another determinant of external authority is our surroundings. In one study, the appearance of a professor's office changed the way a student perceived that professor. The students were told to meet a professor in his office. When they arrived, they found the professor was not yet there. They were asked to wait for 5 minutes in his office. Some students waited in a clean and organized office, while the other students waited in a dirty and disorganized office. After the 5 minutes had passed, they were told the professor could not make the appointment. Later in the study, the students were asked to rate the professor based on his lecture. Researchers found that the visit to the office had a dramatic influence on the students' overall perceptions of the professor. In particular, the students who visited the disorganized office rated the professor as less authoritative, less open, less trustworthy, and less friendly. Appearance affects your authority. Like it or not, external objects and the environment also affect perceptions of power. It is wise for all of us to check out our appearance and our surroundings to make sure we're sending the right message. Another form of power is respect power. As Eldridge Cleaver said, respect commands itself and it can be neither be given nor withheld when it is due. Respect power is the hardest of all power types to gain. This power comes naturally to great persuaders. It must be earned one drop at a time, but it is also the longest lasting. It has a sustained influence on the audience long beyond the persuader's actual physical presence has departed. You see, respect is based on the sum total of how you have conducted yourself in your professional and personal affairs. If you have shown respect, integrity, and character in all your dealings, people will know it. People will sense it. Respect power is the type of power an individual has when he is placed in special regard because of his honorable character. As a result of being honorable, other people trust and respect these individuals and willingly follow them. Parents and religious leaders often possess this type of power. Because of the respect for these individuals' overall conduct, people are influenced on the spot without needing to analyze the persuader or the persuasive situation. See, respect is enhanced when there is an unquestionable reputation, an unspotted history, integrity, character, a proven track record, long-term stability, integrity, dependability, and mutual trust. Another form of power, as you know, is knowledge power. Francis Bacon once says, knowledge itself is power. Knowledge power is based on proficiency in a certain subject, procedure, or situation. People can be persuaded if they think you have more power or knowledge than they do. For example, lawyers, mechanics, and doctors possess this knowledge power. People rely on these professionals' opinions, believe what they say, and trust implicitly what they do because of the extent of their schooling or experience they have. We accept the arguments and data of people we assume have knowledge, whether it's real or perceived. In addition to coming from formal education and training, knowledge power also comes from life experience and innate intelligence and aptitude. Great persuaders use three different types of knowledge power: informational, resource, and expertise. Informational power. When you know something others need to know, you hold power over them. Informational power is exercised when someone needs, wants, or desires the information, facts, or data you possess. Aristotle and Onassis said, "The secret of business is to know something that no one else knows." Then there's resource power. If you have access to key persons, commodities, goods, or services that are valued by others, you hold some power over them. As the saying goes, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Are you perceived as having the right affiliations? What connections do you have? Then, expertise power. When you have special skill sets, expertise, or knowledge that others believe is relevant to their needs and which exceeds their own, they will do what you say or listen to your opinions. Ask yourself, why are you the expert? You have to keep yourself aware of and on top of new industry improvements, changes, and updates so that you can always possess cutting-edge information. You will very quickly lose your persuasive power if your audience detects that you have more sound or current knowledge base than you do. Check yourself against this list. Make sure you're up on all that you could be in your field. Do you have product knowledge? Do you know about the competition, industry information, important affiliations, access to useful information, economic forecasts? Do you have your specific expertise? Are you aware of what your audience needs and wants? The bottom line is that the persuader who has done the research and has the most knowledge is the one who comes out ahead. Always stay ahead of the pack. And the final form of power I want to talk about, reward power. Reward power refers to delivering rewards or benefits to influence others. These rewards can be financial, material, or psychological in nature. Reward power is the fastest way to persuade. You have to be careful, though, because the danger is that such rewards can come to be expected. Once you condition your audience to expect something for their compliance, they will always seek external rewards for their behavior. This strategy may well cause them to do your bidding only for the reward and not for any other reason. It turns out that even if the person were willing to exhibit the desired behavior without the reward, once the reward has been given, the person will no longer perform the desired behavior without the reward. One experiment proved this concept. Subjects sitting together at a table worked on a puzzle for a half an hour. Some were being paid to do the research, and some were not. After the half hour was up, the experimenter told the subjects that the solving session was over and that they had to leave the room. The experimenters then began to monitor the behavior of the subjects when they went into the waiting room. What would they do with their free time? Would they play with the puzzles, or would they choose other activities? The study found that those subjects who were paid to do the puzzles were far less likely to play with them for fun during the free time in the waiting room. Now, on the flip side, those who did not receive an external reward for their efforts were far more likely to play with the puzzles during their free time in the waiting room. Persuaders know that a behavior that is chosen out of free will lasts longer than a behavior that is selected in expectation of an external reward. Reward power is based on utility, on understanding that in every transaction the potential for exchange exists. Basically, reward power recognizes that there is always something I want and something you want. We can meet each other's needs by swapping what we have for what the other wants. Other examples of reward power include sales bonuses, paychecks, incentive clauses on contracts, bonus miles on airplanes, and bonus points on credit cards. It is important to understand that some incentives will work well with one person, but not the other. For some people, money is the optimal reward. For others, it is recognition. As a persuader, you need to find the reward that will most inspire each person you work with. In other words, you must understand the desires of the person or group you are attempting to persuade. Reward power is extremely effective in changing human behavior and in increasing your ability to persuade. You can get what you want with minimal effort. However, there are several inefficiencies to note when using rewards. For one, diminishing returns quickly takes over when you employ this type of power. Diminishing return means the more you use the reward, the less powerful it becomes. When people become accustomed to an incentive, they also become bored with it. As we discussed earlier, they will then either expect more of the reward or drop performance standards if it is removed. One example is the common practice of offering elementary school children rewards for reading. They win a pizza or other prizes after they've read a certain number of books. These incentives often backfire, though, because many of the children think they need a reward to read. Reward power ultimately leads to the desired outcome, but the incentive generally has to be repeated each time to get the desired outcome. The reward is only effective as long as the person doesn't see a better deal. It is important to recognize that your incentive will always be compared to the next person's offer. Rewards reinforce behavior, but only as long as you are employing them. Also expect your audience to keep demanding them. The ability to use power is like having a turbocharger on your car. It increases your speed by enhancing your power. Your ability to harness these forms of power will enhance your ability to persuade and influence. Great persuaders understand and use different forms of power to gain huge persuasion advantages. Remember that power is neutral. It can be used for good or bad, so use it wisely. If you want genuine, long-term persuasion, you will always use power to benefit and motivate others for good. And let me conclude with a fable about the shepherd's boy. And hopefully you've heard this one before. There was once a young shepherd boy who tended his sheep at the foot of a large mountaineer forest. It was very lonely for him all day long, so he devised a way in which he could get a little company and some excitement. He ran down toward the village, calling out, "Wolf, wolf!" And the villagers came out to help him. Some of them even talked with him for a significant amount of time. This attention pleased the boy so much that a few days later he tried the same trick. And again the villagers came to his aid. But the next week, a wolf actually did come out from the forest and began to attack the sheep. The boy, of course, cried, "Wolf, wolf!" louder than before. But this time, nobody came. That's because they had been fooled twice before and thought the boy was deceiving them yet again. As a result, the wolf made a good meal off the boy's flock. What's the meaning? When power gets abused for the wrong reason, it will eventually be ignored. As a future great persuader, learn to understand power, because it will enhance your ability to persuade and influence.